This is Jay Sekulow. President Trump's mugshot released by the Fulton County DA, who now criminalizes the practice of law.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
You know, this Fulton County DA, I'm just going to say it like it is here because I don't like any of these cases, obviously, and you know that. I've been crystal clear on that because I do think this is, you know, a two-tiered system of justice. But this Fulton County DA, by applying RICO, first, to the former president of the United States is outrageous. Second, to the lawyers that defended the president of the United States, criminalizes the practice of law. And let's talk about this for a moment because I think we have to be clear at what's at stake here. So you got a mugshot now of the president. Do we have that? Put it out there. All right, there it is. You know he thought long and hard about exactly how he wanted to look for that shot, okay? So I find it unnecessary, demeaning, ridiculous, and unlawful. And I'm not talking about the mugshot. I'm talking about the entire proceeding. And I think some of the lawyers have moved for a speedy trial. I think that's a very smart move in light of this kind of situation. Put that DA on notice. Kenneth Chesbrough, who wrote a legal memo. I mean, talking about criminalizing the practice of law, a legal memo. He said he wants his case to go to trial. I think it's on October 28th or 23rd. His lawyer is a very good friend of mine also, Scott Grubman, great criminal defense lawyer in Atlanta. I've done cases with Scott, excellent lawyer. The lawyer that is now representing President Trump made the switch yesterday morning and put in a very good friend of mine, Steve Sadow, who Steve and I did my last year of law school at Emory. Steve was there at Emory, but also our offices were in the same building in downtown Atlanta. His firm had three floors. Our firm had three floors. So I knew Steve very, very well during this period of time. And I just, for the life of me, feel like now we have a real legal team in place. And you're going to see a lot of moving motions. By the way, the lawyers representing Jenna Ellis, Frank and Laura Hogue from Macon, Georgia. That's where I went to law school in Mercer. They are well-known, well-respected criminal defense lawyers. Let me tell you something else that's going on here, folks. And this is why I want you to share this with your friends. Get this feed out to as many people as you can because you're not going to get this anyplace else. Most of these lawyers representing these lawyers are Democrats or Libertarians. And you know what they're angry about? The criminalization of the practice of law. So I think the Justice Department and the Fannie Willises of the world have overstepped it and stepped right into a trap with the criminalization of the practice of law. Now, there will come times during these proceedings where there will be motions filed, even in the Court of Appeals. And as it relates to the criminalization of the practice of law, I want to file. I want your reaction to this, folks. You think we should file when appropriate on this issue of the criminalization of the practice of law? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. You understand what that does to lawyers engaged in this kind of defense. Lawyers are supposed to be advocates. We're supposed to be zealous. We're supposed to be aggressive. And I've been accused of being rude, aggressive, and obnoxious. Is that a crime now when you're in a courtroom? Not everybody's Matlock. Pat Monahan, my colleague, is a Matlock, and that's great. But there's different styles of lawyering. You're going to see a lot of those on display. I want your call on this, your reaction to all of this. 1-800-684-3110. By the way, we are entering the final 7 days of our Life and Liberty Drive. We need you now more than ever because these folks need help more than ever. Right now, we're fighting at the Supreme Court against President Biden's appeal of the abortion pill. Your support's crucial in helping us save countless lives of unborn babies and protecting these women. No medical supervision. It's outrageous. Also, don't forget the disgusting monologue that a female was forced to read aloud in class. We must defend her religious liberty in public schools across America. The deep state government corruption going after the whistleblowers. The Life and Liberty Drive is almost over. Support that right now. Your donations are essential to keep us in the fight. All donations are doubled. Give today. back to the broadcast, everyone. So we've got the criminalization of the practice of law now with the fourth indictment of the president. This is, he surrendered yesterday at Fulton County Jail. I think the whole process is disgusting. I think what they've done is ridiculous. And there's lawyers from all across the political spectrum that are outraged about this because it's criminalizing what we do as lawyers every single day, defending our clients zealously. And the idea that now that's a criminal offense is outrageous. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I've asked a couple of questions. Your reaction to this mugshot, your reaction to the indictment, your reaction to the fact that there's going to be a constitutional issue going up to the Court of Appeals very quickly here, and it may be this whole federalism issue. In other words, does it get tried in state or federal court when you're dealing with federal officials? And I could see the ACLJ weighing in on that, weighing in also on the criminalization of the practice of law. We want to know what you'd think we should be doing here. We want your reaction. We've been really reviewing your comments. That's why we're doing our Life and Liberty Drive. 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to keep the phone lines open for the entire broadcast today. We normally don't do that. Let me also say this. We are about to publish our second, this is the proof of it. Do we have this in the, no. Okay, this is the proof of it. Our second prayer guide for the month. It'll be coming out right before, with just 7 days to go. Additional information for you to pray specifically for the ACLJ. There are almost 30,000 of you that are praying for us. I'm sure there are more than that when you add everybody who prays for us every day. But based on this prayer guide alone, over 30,000 of you, almost 30,000 of you, have downloaded this. And we really appreciate it. It makes a huge difference, and we can feel those prayers. I'm going right to the phones. I want this to be a really interactive Friday. Let's go to Stan, who's calling from California, who's listening on radio. Stan, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, my question for you is, why don't you ask for a summary judgment here? There's no case, no crime. This is a malicious prosecution. Why don't you just go to the judge and ask for a summary?
There is a crime alleged, and there's been indictments. So you have actual indictments here, Stan. So it's not in a civil proceeding, you have motions for summary judgment. In a criminal proceedings, you can file a motion for particulars. You can file a motion to dismiss. And I think all of those will be filed. There's also motions for speedy trial. But the civil procedure and the criminal procedure are very different. They have criminalized the practice of law here. Criminalized the practice of law. And that is what is so outrageous about this. So in the context of a civil case, you would have a motion for summary judgment. You know, you could also have a motion to dismiss too. What's interesting here is you got 41 counts and 19 different defendants. Have all of them surrendered yet? I think 17 of the 19?
I believe there's one or two.
Yeah, one or two will be coming in today, but probably now, probably surrendered by now. So you have 19 defendants, which means 19 motions to dismiss, 19 motions to move it to federal court if that's what they decide to do, 19 motions for a bill of particulars, 19 motions to strike. I mean, this is going to be a circus, but I am very pleased at the way the lawyers are starting to come together in the defense of this case. I'm very optimistic that this is going to be a full throttled defense. Now, here's what I want from you. You saw that mugshot. You know they're criminalizing the practice of law. What do you think about this? 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Here's what President Trump said outside the aircraft on the way back to Bedminster.
What has taken place here is a travesty of justice. We did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong. And everybody knows it. I've never had such support. And that goes with the other ones, too. What they're doing is election interference. They're trying to interfere with an election. There's never been anything like it in our country before. This is their way of campaigning. And this is one instance, but you have three other instances. It's election interference.
By the way, it is election interference. I think he's right. If you're talking about election interference, the leading Republican candidate has got 91 charges, and everybody wants to try them in January. You know, we got to get all these trials done, January, February, March. Meanwhile, Jack Smith is still sending out subpoenas. But they want it tried right away. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. This is going to be a very interactive Friday on broadcast. I'm keeping the phone lines open the whole time when there's a line open, which is there will be in a moment. Connie's on line 3 from Kansas. She's calling, listening on radio. Hey, Connie.
Hi, how are you this morning? Hey, I think what they're doing is wrong on so many levels. They're criminalizing everything that doesn't go along with their agenda. But I also think it could be stopped with one move. And if Kemp would stand up and do what's right, like they did in Florida, all this would go away.
He doesn't. You know, here's what's interesting about Georgia. He doesn't even have pardon power. as most governors do. That go in Georgia, it goes to a pardon and parole board. So it's a whole different ball game. Could Kemp remove the DA? I'm not even sure under Georgia law if they allow it. Here's the problem, Connie. Every state's different on how what the legislature sets up as to what the governor can do. So that's what you're really dealing with here, is trying to figure out what action should be taken. Here's my view of it. You've got three things happening simultaneously right now. One is you've got this move by Mark Meadows, and there will be, and others, Jeff Clark, to move this into federal court, where the judge is an Obama appointee, but a federal court judge, so you're within the federal system. In the case I argued at the Supreme Court, there was three of them we had, but one of them, Trump versus Vance, it says the president in his official capacities has the ability to utilize the federal court. So clearly the case can be moved to federal court. And it looks like in Georgia, if it's one, it's done. In other words, if one goes over, all of them go over. So then you're in the federal court system. You got a broader jury pool because it's more counties in the Northern District of Georgia. Fulton County is just Fulton County, very heavy blue district. So, you know, there's a lot of motions that have to be made here. There may be motions to sever. I mean, some of these people have very little charges. For instance, there's a couple. Jenna Ellis is one of them. And she's got, there are two charges on her. One is she was part of the conspiracy that Donald Trump said. The other one is she showed up in Georgia for a hearing and didn't utter a word. And she's now indicted on two counts of felonies. I mean, you think about this for a moment. In what world are we living in? Kenneth Chesbrough writes a legal memo and he's indicted. I mean, think about this. You go to a legislative, you're an elector relying on advice of counsel is what they're saying, and they get indicted too. So you got to understand the scope of what's going on, but each state's different. So where Ron DeSantis has this, plenary authority to just remove state attorneys, elected Fulton County DA or DAs, I'm not so sure he has that power. He might, but it would be hard-pressed to use it here. It would look overly political. I think if this moves to federal court, it's going to be a jurisdiction Fannie Willis isn't so comfortable in, so that could be number one. Number two, and I don't know how this goes, because the state court judge is 34 years old, but is a Kemp appointee. So there's a lot of things you have to weigh in these cases. I am happy and I'm pleased that the lawyers coming together for this have really put together what I think is a significantly, you're going to have 19 lawyers, probably 40 lawyers, more than that, working together that I think could have a dramatic impact. I said I'm going to take phone calls. I need to keep doing that because our phone lines are jamming up at 800-684-3110. Jeff is calling from North Carolina, listening on radio. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm wondering, all these indictments on the attorneys, yes. Is that a play to set the stage for future elections to say, hey, 100%. Don't do this. Don't question anything.
Yes.
Or this is what's going to happen to you.
This is a scare the lawyer move. Listen to what Jonathan Turley said.
This is criminalizing the challenging of elections. Basically, you have a Democratic prosecutor saying, how dare you challenge a Democratic victory? Well, it's been done before by Democrats. And the whole case is based on this theory that Donald Trump really didn't mean it. Well, neither did those, even if that were true, neither did those Democrats. They challenged Trump's election on no grounds at all.
So, yeah, I think it really is. I mean, I think this is election interference, but it's mostly also to scare the lawyers. I'm going to tell you something. We looked at a case the other day, and we had a second thought because it was an election law kind of case. And we started thinking, yeah, do we want to do this? Is this something we think we should be doing? And we weren't so sure. So this is the problem. It does have what's called in the law a chilling effect. When you do this, you squelch First Amendment rights, you threaten prosecution, you arrest the lawyers. We've never had this in U.S. history like this. This is the first time. It's not just the president, it's the president's lawyers. It's so outrageous. It's disgusting, actually. I do not like it at all. Let me say this also. I'm going to keep the phone lines open during the entire broadcast. We normally don't do that. We are going to do that today. So if you've got the lines are jammed right now. So it's 1-800-684-3110. I encourage you to call, and I'll let you know when lines open up, or you could call and people do fall out. We have a new prayer guide coming out. The guy, the team's trying to figure out when it's going to be launched. Almost 30,000 of you have downloaded the first one. We're getting into the last week right now of our matching challenge campaign, so we want people praying and supporting the work of the ACLJ, which brings me to this. First of all, whatever feed you're watching on right now, we got a lot of people watching. Share it with your friends and make sure you subscribe. Very important to get the information out. We are entering the final days of our first ever Life and Liberty Drive. And we need you now more than ever. Right now, we're fighting, as I said, the Supreme Court of the United States to fight against the Biden administration's appeal of the abortion pill mandate. Your support's crucial in helping these babies and protecting these women, too. Also, don't forget that monologue that the female student was required to read, but the mother, when she went to share it with the school board, they said, no, that's pornographic and obscene. You can't read it here. We got that case in federal court. Got a new one I'm about to announce, but I won't be able to announce until next week. Giant case. And, of course, we're representing those whistleblowers. Your support is needed more now than ever. Your donations are essential. Keep us in this fight. ACLJ.org. Give today. Now is it's something that needs no introduction. So I'm going to go right to it, Rick. Here's what we got. We've got the photo now, a mugshot of the former president of the United States, and we've got a bunch of people indicted in Georgia, including a lot of lawyers. And Rick Grenell, I am really, really upset about the criminalization of the practice of law. I'm upset about the way this is going down. I do zealous advocacy of my clients, and they are criminalizing it. And you talk about election interference. I can't think of anything that's more election interference than this. What's your reaction to all this?
I think it's pretty un-American to go after the lawyer that's representing you. This is a fundamental constitutional right. How dare they try to take away the lawyer for people? This is third world tactics. Every single lawyer in America should be screaming about this because they could be next. Their client could be next. You have a right to representation. You have an assumption that you are innocent and that then your lawyer gets to go through the legal process of representing you. When you criminalize lawyers for people, this is totally un-American. You know, Jay, I've said it on this program before, but I've spent 12 years at the State Department calling out dictatorial tactics. This is the type of thing that we need to call out. Now we're hearing that the left wants to use secretaries of state in some state to ensure that Donald Trump is not on the ballot. Yep. I will tell you, we used to put people on the sanctions list for being so dictatorial.
I want to set up inside the ACLJ because I did. I mean, a lot of people don't know this. We don't talk about it much. I did one of the campaign finance cases at the Supreme Court, the big one, McCain-Feingold. In fact, not bragging, but the only section that was successful in winning was mine, the one I defended, which was a prohibition of minors participating in federal elections. And we won that 9-0. So we've got a lot of election law expertise. I'm looking at all of this, Rick, in the lens of election interference. And I think this criminalization of the practice of law is also election interference. And add to that, you add on top of it the former president of the United States, who happens to be the leading Republican candidate for president, and it just reeks of election interference. But let me tell you one thing that's good, Rick. I don't know if you caught it. You probably didn't catch it earlier. I know you're on the road. So a lot of the lawyers that are representing these folks are not necessarily Republicans, and that's a good thing. There are Democrats, independents, libertarians, lawyers that are outraged over this issue. And I think that bodes well for the country that lawyers are still getting this.
Well, I hope so. I have Democrat friends in California who look at this and they say, this is scary to me because it's an overreach, but I need these people to speak up. And when I hear that from people, I say, you got to speak up. You can't watch this and just sit on the sidelines because frankly, the media is supposed to be the watchdog. The media is supposed to be pushing back when someone overreaches. But the entirety of Washington, D.C. is literally racing towards anything for the ruling party, crush dissent, crush the other guy, crush the opposition. And the media are cheering it while just watching it happen. And it's really outrageous.
So we're going to we said we would take phone calls, and I know, Rick, you like talking to our folks, so I'm going to go right to the phones. Deborah's calling. She's listening on YouTube. She's got a question on line one. Deborah, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. So hey. I was wondering how a judge can even allow, any judges in Michigan or Georgia can allow these cases to go forward, because it violates every aspect of the Constitution, including the preamble, which says that we're the consent of the governed.
Yeah, well, it also violates our First Amendment, which says you have the right to petition your government for redress of the grievance. The problem is the way it works is they're before a judge because they've been indicted. I mean, they're the liberty of these individuals, and I know you've got a situation in Michigan, too. The liberty of these individuals are at risk here, and it's serious. I mean, their liberty is at risk, and their rights are at risk. And the next move before these speedy trial motions and all those will be coming is probably going to be motions to dismiss, and there'll be constitutional grounds. And I expect if they get into the federal court, Rick, then it can go up to the federal system, which means at that point the ACLJ on the constitutional issues can weigh in. And when we weigh in on something like that, Rick, as you know, we weigh in with a big hammer.
Yeah, look, I'm frustrated, and I sense that our callers are frustrated. Yep. And here is one thing that I just want to put in perspective. If you're listening to this and you're outraged and you're posting on social media and you're talking to your friends and you just can't believe what's happening and you feel helpless, that is a real feeling, and I get it. But one way to not feel helpless is to understand we are at war legally. This whole term of lawfare, and there is no one better than our team at ACLJ to go after the legal process and to defend these people. The fight that we have to do is through the courts and legally. I really encourage people, if you are frustrated, you need to go to ACLJ.org, throw in a few bucks so that we can hire another lawyer and take on another case. Because the more that we can do, this is the fight that has to happen. We cannot rely on the media. We cannot rely on social media outrage. We've watched this, happening, and we need to understand that we've got to have the best lawyers that go immediately into court and launch lawfare.
Yep. You know what? We have brought on as a special counsel to the ACLJ, Jane Raskin, who is our colleague during the Mueller probe and in representing President Trump, and someone that Rick knows well. She's one of the best criminal defense lawyers in the country. She and I have worked on major, major cases. She's a great lawyer and a great advocate. She's now part of our team. I mean, we're beefing it up, folks. Let me tell you where this comes in and where Rick's 100% correct. This is where we really need you. I mean, this is serious stuff. And if you look at the cases, I'm going to be announcing one towards the end of next week that involves a lot of ministry organizations you know that have been targeted by the federal government, and we're going to go to bat for them and defend. We are handling these whistleblower cases right now, and they need our help. They need our help, and we need you. I mean, it's going to be a joint effort here. We've got the abortion pill mandate where they're mailing out abortion pills without medical supervision for the women. I mean, this is crazy stuff. I've got a case in Nevada where a 15 or 16-year-old female student, has to read this monologue written by some other student that's pornographic. So the mother goes to the school board meeting. I thought it was a brilliant move on the mother, and reads it to the, starts reading it to the school board. And Rick, they made her stop doing it. They said, we don't allow obscenity and profanity at our school board meetings. But her 16-year-old or 15-year-old had to read it to the class.
Yeah, look, the hypocrisy is out of control. But again, we can complain. We can take to social media. We can call our congressman, but right now the fight is in the courts. We have to have the best lawyers. We have to have the best arguments, and that takes money. I hope people will give us a little bit of money to be able to do this. This is urgent right now.
You're absolutely right. Thanks, Rick. By the way, you know, I keep saying it. These people need us, and we need you, and together we help them. It's that simple. Go to ACLJ.org. And participate in our Life and Liberty Drive. Your gifts will be doubled. We've never done a Life and Liberty Drive before. We're doing it now. We've had a great response. But the next 7 days are the most critical 7 days in this effort. So go to ACLJ.org and participate in our Life and Liberty Drive so that we have the resources to move this forward. It's a juggernaut. And it's not just what's happening to the lawyers. It's all these other cases. But we're going to get involved in all this, folks. ACLJ.org. Another half hour of the broadcast. Keeping the phone lines open. You stay on the line. We're going to get to your calls. We'll take more in the next half hour. Back with more in a moment.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. I said I would keep the phone lines open for the whole hour of the broadcast. We certainly did the first half hour. Again, ACLJ.org to support the work of the ACLJ. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. You got the mugshot of President Trump. You got 19 defendants in Georgia. You got a bunch of them are lawyers. We've criminalized the practice of law. You're afraid to go to court to represent your client. You talk about a chilling effect on elections. How about a chilling effect on the practice of law? It's an outrage. In the ACLJ, we don't just talk about it. We take action on it. And if these cases go to federal court, we're going to be able to file briefs in the federal court. We can file them in the Court of Appeals, too, in the state court systems. But I have a feeling these cases are all going to be headed to the federal court system, and we may know that Monday or Tuesday. And then we're going to have next week a big announcement on another huge case for the ACLJ. But I said I would take your calls, and I'm going to do that. So this is this is our interactive Friday in a big way. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Ken, who's calling from Tennessee. He's online, too. He's watching on ACLJ.org. And again, if you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110. Ken, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Jay, I think what's going on is what they're doing to Clarence Thomas and the justices, you know, and then they don't like his rulings, and it's just like they don't like the lawyers who are defending certain people. So I think that's what's going on, too.
No, it's a delegitimization of the court, and they're doing that by making these ad hominem personal attacks against people like Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito. And these are strong people. I'm not worried about how that's going to affect their judicial decisions, but I will say this. Do we have that screaming comment by Chuck Schumer? Let's find it, because Ken brings up a really good point. And you know, they've been going after the court since Dobbs was argued, threatening the court if they come out with, quote, the wrong decision, which in their view would have been the overturning of Roe versus Wade. You will rue the day, he said, if you come up with these terrible decisions. This is the majority leader of the United States Senate. He wasn't then, he was the minority leader, making these statements. Intimidating at the steps of the Supreme Court of the United States. And it tells you the nature and scope of what they're trying to do. So yes, they'll indict the lawyers so you silence them, intimidate the justices so that, you know, you think you're going to affect their rulings, which it didn't. The Dobbs decision came out. But you threaten them. But listen, this is Chuck Schumer, a United States senator, talking in front of the Supreme Court.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
Yeah, and what hit Kavanaugh was an attempted assassination. You will rue the day if you go forward with these decisions. That's an independent judiciary. So when you look at all this nonsense that's going on right now and get back to it, do you want to save this constitutional republic? Do you want this for your kids and your grandkids? I do. Do I want them to have to hear this nonsense on TV every day, every night? You think I like listening to this? Explaining to my grandkids why the former president of the United States has to have a mugshot? Or why a sitting U.S. senator is going after Supreme Court judges on the steps of the Supreme Court? No, I don't. And you don't either. And that's not the country the founders had in mind. So we've got a big job to do right now, maybe the biggest job we've ever had, and that's defend the republic. You know, we're in a life and liberty drive, and we've talked a lot about life, but you got no liberty if you don't have a republic to live in. And we're losing that republic every day. And that life issue takes on a lot of different connotations. So this is what I need you to do, folks. We'll keep the phone lines open at 800-684-3110. But let me tell you this. Go right now to ACLJ.org. Respond to that email you got from us today. We have a life and liberty drive going on right now. We're at the Supreme Court battling out for the issue of life. We're fighting school districts that are having students recite horrible monologues and language that's inappropriate in any setting. And we're in court in that. We are representing whistleblowers who are being threatened and having their security clearance taken because they told the truth, and they need our help, and that means we need your support. Together, us, all of us, can make a difference for these folks, and we can defend this republic we love. If you're watching this program, go to ACLJ.org right now and go to our Life and Liberty Drive. It's right there on the homepage, and make that online gift. Your gift will be doubled. I encourage you to do that today. Back with more in a moment. Hey, welcome back. I told you, folks, we're taking your calls on this Friday, and we're going in the order you've been waiting. Mary's calling from Colorado. She is listening on Twitter. Watching on Twitter, I should say. Great. Mary, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you. Hi, Jay.
Sure. Hi.
Yeah, you know, as angry as I am at what the Democrats have done and what they're doing and how they're doing it, I honestly am more angry with the Republicans. I'm angry that there should have been every Republican congressperson standing outside that jail yesterday. They should be speaking out. All they do is tweet and oh, they're so outraged. But nothing ever happens. They don't do anything. That's more frustrating to me. I know the Dems are going to do what they're going to do because they've always done it. And they're doing it.
Let me tell you this, though. Fannie Willis received a letter from Jim Jordan, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee and on the Weaponization Committee. And he said, on August 14th, you brought these indictments. You've identified a number of acts that you claim were committed by the furtherance of these purported crimes. And then he wants documents and oversight. So it's not like they're doing nothing. Accordingly, to advance our oversight, please respond. All documents and communications referring or relating to the Fulton County District Attorney's Office receipt and use of federal funds. All documents and communications between or among the Fulton County DA and DOJ and its components regarding these investigations. I think that's a really bold and smart move. All documents and communications between the Fulton County DA's office and the executive branch regarding the investigation of Donald Trump. So, they are taking action. That is the action they can take. They can't wave a wand to make it go away, but they can take direct action, and it's precisely and exactly what they are doing. All right, we're taking your calls. I'm going to continue to go in the order that you called. When phone lines open up, call 1-800-684. Listening on Sirius XM is Steve out of Ohio. Steve, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Oh, we just lost Steve. Let's go to Fred in Florida. Fred, go ahead.
Taking my call. Just one real quick thing. I believe the exception can be the rule. I mean, precedents aren't established until they're established for the first time, kind of like Sully and the double bird strike on both engines. But this country, I believe very strongly that we need to continue to try and protect the individual, not necessarily groups of individuals, but the individual. And because that's the only way we can hold them accountable as well as allow them freedom to act.
Well, individual liberty is a big deal. And when you lose individual liberty, you lose a lot, including your republic. And when you lose individual liberty, there's something else you've lost in the process. And here you're losing the ability of lawyers to defend their clients. And that's a pretty scary situation. Now, the way this is going to proceed, there'll be motions to dismiss filed. I don't expect the court's going to allow briefs from non-parties there. But when it goes to the Court of Appeals on constitutional or statutory issues, then you can start engaging. And we're going to do that at the ACLJ. Because I'm going to defend these lawyers right to... I want to defend the lawyers. Because I think this is outrageous. Criminalizing the practice of law hurts everyone that's listening to this broadcast. We're going back to the phones. Let's go to Tom on line 6, listening on YouTube. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, sir. Just two quick questions. One, can he sue for malicious prosecution if he's found innocent?
And when you say, who are you talking about?
President Trump.
Yeah. I mean, there might be a claim for some type of malicious prosecution. That is not going to win the day here. So you got to do that. You're in a criminal proceeding. So you need to file the motions in a criminal case to protect the constitutional privileges that you're entitled to. Make sure the evidence is exculpatory evidence is given, witness testimony statements are given, all the evidence the government has is supposed to tender. That's relevant. So that would aid in your defense. So they have to do that. And what we'll see is if they do it or not, and then there'll be a series of motions. Those motions are being moved on right now. I mean, there are motions. Listen, there's already an order from the Superior Court of Fulton County saying it's going to trial October 23rd. I mean, it's going to happen. And this is, I mean, it, that one, now, if it gets moved to federal court, that same right to a speedy trial, though, applies. That was filed by a friend of mine, Scott Grubman, a very good defense lawyer in Atlanta. I'm sure there'll be others. There's been the move to move it to federal court. So all of that's happening. All right. I'm going as quick as I can so I can open up phone lines. I've got two open for you right now. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go to Chris calling from Pennsylvania. He's listening on Facebook. And by the way, if you're on Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, share it with your friends. If you're listening on radio, let your friends know about this broadcast. SiriusXM, same thing. Twitter now, we're broadcasting on. So we encourage you to do all of that. Go ahead, Chris.
Hello.
Hey.
Twitter with an X is Twixter. Anyway, can Donald Trump copyright his mugshot?
It's not his. It's the state. It's the Fulton County DA's or the Fulton County Sheriff's Office. But he can use it, and I suspect you know he's going to. I say that tongue-in-cheek. I think it's a horrible day for the country. I didn't like having to explain that to my grandkids yesterday. You know, this is somebody they met in the Oval Office. I don't like that. I mean, I represented this guy for a long time, and I think that what's happened is outrageous, and I think that it's a sad day for the country, and I think these charges, this weaponization of a leading candidate for the Republican Party is an outrage, and we should call it what it is, an outrage, but the criminalization of the lawyers really, really has me nervous. All right, I'm taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I've lowered my volume because I thought I was going to talk myself out. I get a little emotional about this. Ronald's calling from South Carolina, listening on Rumble, one of our favorite platforms. Go ahead, Ronald.
Thank you for taking my call. And I agree with you, Mr. Sekulow, because of the fact that what this current political administration is doing is literally just utilizing many of the agencies of this country for the sole purpose of going after and ridiculing one person that they feel is a threat to them. And then it comes out that what they're actually doing is literally alienating the citizens of this country and from gaining their access to justice and to many of these agencies and stuff like that, because they're now on a witch hunt chasing after Donald Trump. It's a bad and a sad day for this country, and we're looking like ridicules in the face of the world.
No, I think this is horrible for the United States. I mean, I think it's terrible for the United States. I think this is embarrassing. I think this is an outrage. I think I don't like the stuff that's going on with Hunter Biden either. I mean, all of this is just kind of tawdry. It's just, come on. We're the United States of America. We could do better than all of this. And, you know, if I was a president, I think I'd pardon everybody and say, let's just have a political match and see how it goes. I'd pardon them all. Pardon Trump, pardon Biden, pardon Hunter, and just duke it out in the political system, which is what it's supposed to be. But apparently, I'm not the president, so I don't get to make that call. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. You know, a lot of you watching on ACLJ.org, we appreciate that. Nancy is. Nancy's calling. She's from Tennessee, great state of Tennessee. Nancy, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jay.
Sure.
Long-time listener
great.
For over 25 years. And my question is, couldn't President Trump file for amnesty like other prison people that come from other countries that are threatened by their country?
No, he can't file amnesty. He has to file because he's entitled to a proceeding inside a court. When you apply for amnesty, that is just the proceeding you go through to get amnesty. He is now in the federal, the state right now. And well, I'm in Washington and in Florida, state and federal court systems. That's the system where this is adjudicated. So that's how the case will be adjudicated. But I think we have to be clear. There's going to be a lot of movement in the next couple of weeks. I mean, this trial, the first trial could take place October 23rd. And I think, what does Jack Smith want, January 2nd? I mean, this is absurd. While the guy's running for president, but they don't care. Let's hold on to all the calls. So, Steve, everybody else, stay on the line. JB, stay on the line. We're going to get you in the next segment. I need to take a couple of minutes here to explain what's going on. We've got 7 days left in our matching challenge campaign. Our team, we had a great success with our prayer guide, and our team decided to do a second edition of our prayer guide. I'm holding it in my hands. Why don't you go to the picture that I've got right here? Because it's different, and it's different content than the other one. I don't know what day it will be sent out to you yet. So we're going to ask you to request it probably maybe this weekend or early next week. This is a good way for you to pray for the ACLJ during the next month. We're doing it for our Life and Liberty Drive, and even though that will be over at the end of this month, it'll remind you to pray for us every day. Now, I do want to say this. We are entering the final days, and let me tell you something. I'm going to be really direct with you. We've got some big days ahead here, folks. Last year, on the last day of our drive, of our matching challenge, last year, we raised almost $400,000. There are days when it's $170,000 and $120,000. And the reason I'm giving you specific numbers is I'm increasing the legal staff with very seasoned lawyers. I mean, lawyers that have been doing this a long, long time. And these folks that we're representing, whether it's the pro-life students, whether it's the students in these schools that are being harassed, whether it's these whistleblowers, whether it's organizations being labeled inappropriately and taken to federal court, these people need our help. And that means they need us and we need you. And together we can make a big difference. If you haven't yet supported us in our Life and Liberty Drive, go to ACLJ.org and sign it right now at ACLJ.org. You can be part of that Life and Liberty Drive. And any amount you donate, somebody donated, I think yesterday, $10,000. You realize that's $20,000 for us. So ACLJ.org, the Life and Liberty Drive. Your gifts will be doubled. I'll be right back with more calls. Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Last segment. So I'm going to go through these calls and comments because we are getting comments. And Joe on Rumble had one that said, Sonia on Facebook first said, will they allow me to wear my mugshot T-shirt when I go vote for President Trump? Probably not, because they generally have restrictions on what you could wear going into the voting booth. So those have been held constitutional. Joe on Rumble said, I'm afraid the Southern Poverty Law Center will label the ACLJ a hate organization, and then the feds will crack down and go after us. They haven't. They've labeled all our friends hate organizations, but we don't hate. We're doing the law. You know, we practice law, and we're going to defend lawyers who practice law, too. I would defend the Southern Poverty Law Center's right to practice law. Let's go to Steve in Ohio. Hey,
great job, Jay. Hello. My comment is there prosecutorial misconduct? And if so, can you go after these attorney generals in disbarring them?
Well, there's no adjudication yet of innocence. So any kind of prosecutorial misconduct will, A, depend on what happens at the trial. Evidence not given over, things like that. That can become prosecutorial misconduct. Maybe malicious prosecution if you're vindicated. But at that point, the man's weeks away possibly from being the next president of the United States, or certainly in the election, so he's not going to have time to worry about that. Maybe his lawyers can. But I think that the reality is you have a situation here where I think we have to be clear that when you're fighting an issue like this, instead of worrying about what the prosecutor might get hit with in the future, you got to defend the case that is right in front of you. And if you don't do that, that's when the danger comes in. Gary's calling Wisconsin. He's listening on YouTube. And by the way, make sure you're subscribing, folks. We've added a lot of subscribers, over 320,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. That is growing rapidly. Matt Giesler in our office and his team doing a great job there. And a lot of people are watching now and are new to us. We appreciate it. Gary, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you. In the heat of all of this that I've been listening to, I don't know the legality of this, but don't we as citizens have the right, if they refuse to put Trump on the ballot, don't we have the right to write him in as a write-in candidate?
You sure do. That's your right. I don't think these attempts to keep the former president off the ballot, I know there's states talking about it, I do not think that's going to succeed, Gary. I just find it hard. They're trying to use a 14th Amendment kind of approach to this. I don't think it works. I think it's dangerous. I think it puts the country in a bad place. And this is when I go back to when we talk about defending core constitutional liberty as a constitutional republic. And that's what we have to do right now. And when I'm trying to evaluate, and I just got a text from one of the lawyers in the case right now asking me a constitutional question. There's going to be a series of constitutional questions coming up here. And I'm trying to figure out the venue upon which we can address these, not just for President Trump, but for all these lawyers that have been dragged into this thing. We take an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States and to represent our clients zealously, not tipping, tipping, Tepin, we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to be aggressive advocates. But they've now taken, they're criminalizing the practice of law. We should be outraged by this. I mean, I was thinking about that thing with Ken Chesbrough. He writes a legal memo, which lawyers write all the time on all kind of theories. And what's his thank you for that? He gets indicted. Janelle shows up at a hearing, doesn't utter a word, you get indicted because you were working for the president. I could say that about these other lawyers too. I mean, it's just the outrage on this is really beyond the pale here. John's calling from Pennsylvania, listening on Facebook. Boy, we've got a lot of calls came in on our social media today. I've had some from radio too, but a lot from social media. John, go ahead.
Jay, I want to thank you guys for everything you do, but my question is directed at what you're talking about, Chuck Schumer. I just don't understand. I'm an ex-police officer, and I get terroristic threats. The statute we have in PA would be really borderline.
Right.
But why was nothing ever done, like even to censure him? Why didn't anyone, when that was said, why wasn't anything ever done? You didn't even hear anything spoken about it. I mean, he outright, as you say it in words, technically he threatened the Supreme Court, and he got away with it.
Yeah, because the Senate's not going to do anything. I mean, let's be realistic. Who's not going to censure? I mean, I think there was a couple of senators said, oh, this was wrong. He shouldn't have done it. It was out of, you know, it wasn't appropriate. It wasn't nice. It was outrageous what he did. You know, and then, but the, you know, the end result was the decision was overturned. They overturned Roe versus Wade. So on that, from that standpoint, I do not think that it mattered. But right now I got to focus on the courts, folks. We got our whole government affairs team focusing on the House and Senate. We got to focus on the courts. Let's go to Jean. She's calling in Illinois. Another one on Facebook. Jean, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm wondering why they're not going after the clerk who leaked the indictment. I heard that that's a felony.
Well, I mean, leaking the indictment would have been a felony, but they said it was a technical issue where they were testing their system to see if it would take it. But when they denied it was even that, it was even real, and then when the indictment came out, it was obvious it was real. But here's we're the United States of America, for goodness sake. And we're leaking out early copies of indictments on people? And they're leaking things to the press? The prosecutors? I mean, really? This is where we've gone to? This is the statement we're at? So when we're in our life and liberty drive at the ACLJ, you're darn right we're fighting for liberty. Because if we don't have liberty, we have no constitutional republic. And if we have no constitutional republic, we have no United States of America. And if we have no United States of America, we have no life or liberty. We're the greatest country in the world. We are still the greatest country in the world. I just want to make sure for my grandkids that it stays the greatest country in the world. And that's where you come in. And your role in this is really pivotal and critical. So I want to encourage you to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice in our Life and Liberty Drive. It is that important. Go to ACLJ.org. Your gift will be doubled. ACLJ.org, Life and Liberty Drive. I'm going to take the last call who is opposed. That's good, too. Radio caller, that's good to hear also. David, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey. Yeah, I'm in the airline business. I'm a pilot.
Yep.
Fly with a lot of, you know, military guys.
Yes, sir.
And this, that, and the other thing. But I have to say, Christie's comment the other night at the debate, I thought, was really spot on. That's all the hoopla and this, but it won't change the truth.
And, well, one second here, I'll let you finish. But Chris Christie's not the judge and jury. There's a presumption of innocence in the United States. You have to assume right now that President Trump is innocent and all these other people are innocent of all these charges. Go ahead, though, and finish up there, David.
Well, I just said any individual.
Yeah, you know, David, here's the problem. Chris Christie can make these statements and say this is, you know, here's the problem. We're better than this. It's the weaponization of the government that has allowed this. I did the Mueller probe. I know the nonsense that went on there. I did the Ukraine impeachment. I know the nonsense went on there. It was nonsense. Presumed innocent. The presumption of innocence, including these lawyers. So, folks, support the work of the ACLJ. We are down to 7 days. ACLJ.org. We have a Life and Liberty Drive. First time we've done it. We're ahead of where we were last year, which is great. But we've got a big 7 day, the biggest 7 days of the drive coming up. This is where you come in. I need everybody that's watching, listening, or on any of our social media forms. If it's $2, $5, or $10, support the work of the ACLJ at Life and Liberty Drive. Your gift will be doubled. That allows us to help the people that need us. They need us. We need you. ACLJ.org to support the Life and Liberty Drive. Have a great weekend.